Wilding, The Return of Nature to a British Farm. Written and read by Isabella Tree. Flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 12. It's a still June day on Knepp Castle Estate in West Sussex. We can call it summer now. This is a moment we've been waiting for, not sure if we dare expect it. But there it is, from the thicket that was once a hedgerow, that unmistakable purring. Soothing, inviting, softly melancholic. We tread quietly past an eruption of saplings of oak and alder, billowing with skirts of blackthorn, hawthorn, dog rose and bramble. The thrill of recognition is tinged with relief, and though neither of us tempts fate by expressing it, a hint of triumph. Our turtle doves have returned. For my husband Charlie, their gentle burbling takes him back to the African bush, to his infancy, running around on his parents' farm. This is where the doves have come from, their tiny flight muscles pumping 3,000 miles from deep in West Africa, from Mali, Niger and Senegal, across the epic landscapes of the Sahara Desert, the Atlas Mountains and the Gulf of Cadiz, over the Mediterranean, up the Iberian Peninsula, through France and across the English Channel. They mostly fly under the cover of darkness, covering between 300 and 450 miles every night at a maximum speed of 40 miles an hour, usually making landfall in England around May or early June. Like their fellow African migrant, the nightingale, they are famously timid. It is their call that tells us they are here. Like the cuckoo and the nightingale, who generally arrive here first, they have come to breed, to raise their young far from the predators and competitors of Africa, and to take advantage of the long daylight feeding hours of the European summer. For most people our age, born in the 1960s, who have grown up in the English countryside, turtle doves are the sound of summer. Their companionable crooning is lodged forever somewhere deep in my subconscious. But this nostalgia, I realise, is lost to generations younger than ours. In the 1960s, there were an estimated 250,000 turtle doves in Britain. Today, there are fewer than 5,000. At the present rate of decline, by 2050, there could be fewer than 50 pairs. And from there, it would be a hair's breadth to extinction as a breeding species in Britain. Now, at Christmas, when we sing of the gifts my true love gave to me, few carolers have ever heard a turtle dove, let alone seen one. The significance of its name, derived from the lovely Latin turtur, nothing to do with the reptile, all to do with its seductive purring, is lost to us. The symbolism of turtles, their pair bonding and allegory of marital tenderness and devotion, their mournful turturing, the song of love lost, the stuff of Chaucer, Shakespeare and Spenser, is vanishing into the kingdom of phoenixes and unicorns. As its territory shrinks to the southeast corner of England, Sussex is one of the turtle's final redoubts. Even so, numbers for our county are reckoned to be at best 200 pairs. Trouble on the migration route is undoubtedly partly responsible. Periodic droughts, changes in land use, the loss of roosting sites, increasing desertification and hunting in Africa, and the stupendous challenge of crossing the firing squads of the hunters of the Mediterranean. In Malta alone, the slaughter claims 100,000 turtle doves every season. Around 800,000 a year are killed in Spain.